How many have got the victory this morning? Praise the Lord. I think we're going to really enjoy it on the other side. And I think God wants to have us enjoy it even on this side. Praise the name of the Lord. As I remember it, when I last spoke to you in the Sunday school hour 3 weeks ago, we were talking about principles of exercising the gifts, and I believe that I'm on series number 5 today, the fifth of a series of exercising and evaluating the utterance gifts. And I left off talking about 35 principles in exercising the utterance gifts. And if I'm not mistaken, and if anyone here has notes and can verify that, I believe I'm ready to start number 28. If that equates with the notes that some of you are taking. If not, you'll let me know right away. I'm quite sure that's correct. So recognizing that I have given 27 of the 35 principles in exercising the utterance gifts, the 28th is that we need to be, and maybe I should preface it by saying this, if we will really learn these 35 principles and we'll check ourselves, and as we use the utterance gifts, we'll come back and take out the tape and go down the line and check it out with these principles and see if we're on in all points, correct ourselves, bring ourselves to a place where everything in our motive, our heart, our operation of the gift all lines up with these. If we'll check and see, as we listen to the specific words that are said, if these things are in accordance with God's word, if they violate the principles, the tenor of his word, if we're saying things that God would not say, if it makes God a bad grammarian, recognizing that at times a man might, in his own weakness, he might bring forth something that is, he's not perfect in bringing forth what's coming to him. And so, and himself having bad grammar, he may slip in a point or two, and it does not necessarily presuppose the message is not from God, but if you're just saying things in blocks that are really messed up grammar-wise, you've got a problem. 28, be very careful to not judge like things, similar things, and coincidences as being proof and verification of prophecies or interpretations of revelations. There are many Christians that become trapped by circumstantial evidence and coincidences and similarities and vague and general fulfillments, thinking that these things are proofs and verifications of prophecies or interpretation of tongues or revelations that are given. I find this very common, and it's something that we need to be especially careful of. First of all, there is a subjectiveness in men and Christians that want God to speak. They want God to lead. They want revelation. They want verification. They want God to stamp their approval on what has been done and what they want done. And they're looking hard for anything that might verify. Well, now, if you're in that position and you're looking for argument to verify something, you're more susceptible to being inaccurate and unfair than if you're not looking for, quote, ammo, unquote, you know, for your side. And the same thing is true in the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. Remember this. There's only so many broad subjects, faith, love, you know, so forth. And we are speaking certain things in this hour. And just because somebody is on the same theme as you are, because somebody had said things with some of the same things in them does not mean that it had any direct connection with what you have said or doing or thinking. There are people that think if they read a portion of Scripture or talked about something in a fellowship meeting that's in the same lines as what the pastor preached, that God had to have pre-selected both of them and put them together. But that's not necessarily true. This Bible is loaded with love, faith, and practically every doctrine all the way through. Any place you put your finger on it. Now, God is speaking the same things in the same hour to his people. And it is some verification to a minister to all of a sudden when he starts feeling goaded by God to start bringing entire series, speaking much about authority, to find out all across the nation as you pick up Christian magazines and hear of other pastors, all of a sudden the ministers across the nation are speaking of authority because a problem is happening in the land. And God will always give his people to speak what is needed for that problem. Even outside of God giving that to them and goading them and inspiring and leading them to speak that, even seeing problems, you will naturally come to preach that which will naturally be needed in the hour to help people in those problems. We must not jump to conclusions that just because a prophecy or an interpretation has a phrase or something in it that's the same as somebody else gave somewhere or something, that necessitates a proof or verification of what somebody else said. It's only along the same lines. I am not denying that God won't verify. I'm not denying that God won't bring in weight after weight of evidence on the same thing. But what I'm saying is, in order for us to know that something is really verification, we have to have these things come in such measure and such repetition and in such weight and in such exactness that there's no question about what God is speaking and verifying over and above coincidences and what would naturally be there. It has to come through certain people that know nothing about the situation at particular times when it's needed by enough people and in enough different ways with enough exactness that there can be no question about it. Otherwise, there's no verification. It might fall in the laws of coincidence. God doesn't expect us to go by coincidences. Little ambiguous things that maybe, if you look sharply, could be a connection. God knows how to let people know clearly and plainly. And if God is trying to get you to go to Ecuador, he's not going to tell you one by old Brother Smith that always seems to have revelations for everybody who lives over someplace down on 38th Street. He's going to tell you over and over again in many different ways. He's going to keep it on your heart, going to goad it. He's going to build it. You'll know inside. It'll be verified by the church government, by various other people. God doesn't expect you to hop off and run because somebody said something that was similar to what somebody else said when he was back in Kansas one time in a meeting. It isn't that ambiguous. God doesn't expect his people to run all across the face of the earth on the basis of some similarities of words that people use. He knows how to bring something to you in such a way that you know it's of God and you have substantial evidence. God doesn't want you to pack your bags the first time you hear a voice. He wants you to substantiate it and to know it's God. We have in the Scriptures incidences where God brought things to people. For example, the Apostle Paul. Now, if anybody ought to know how to hear God's voice, it ought to be Paul. The Apostle Paul, when God began to let him know that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, he didn't just give it by one prophet alone. Now, Agabus was a prophet. Agabus was a prophet. He wasn't just a man in the church that had a gift of prophecy. And by the Spirit, he took Paul's hands, put them together and took his sash off and he bound his hands and tied them tight and said, "Thus shalt thou be bound and delivered to the Gentiles." Now, just anybody in the church wouldn't do that to the Apostle Paul coming by. But that, God didn't leave it at that. He didn't leave it even at trusting what Agabus said. He said, "In every city the Spirit witnesses to me that this shall happen." Verification in one church after another church as they filled the little sitting vessels, they had no radios to radio ahead and say, you know, now this is the message you should get. This is what we gave. See? There was nothing along those lines, and yet God didn't even give it in two, but in every city. We find that when Gideon wanted to know the mind of God, he put out a fleece before God. And he said, Lord, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll know it's you. And when it happened just like that, and the ground was dry and the fleece was wet, he said, well, now, Lord, maybe there's some scientific things here that I don't know about, how maybe this fleece would hold moisture longer than the ground, maybe the ground dried up. I don't know for positive, so now I'm going to flip it around. Now, tomorrow, if it's the opposite way, then I'll know. And the next day, it was the opposite way, and the ground was soaked and the fleece was dry. Now, he said, now, this cannot be. I mean, if there's a scientific principle here, if one thing evaporates faster than another, why, then it wouldn't work in the reverse the next day. And therefore, now I know it's God. You see, he was sure. He didn't run off on some half-cocked miracle. Some half-cocked verification, I should say. So be careful not to judge like things and similar things and coincidences as proof. Make sure you've got proof. Make sure they're verified, tied down, and will stand up in a court of law, so to speak. You have a right to know when you're going to do something major in God. I can give you a lot of stories about people who knew that God was sending them there. They were sure God was sending them. They felt it in the spirit. Things were being said, the way things were handled, the way this came, the intensity, how long it stood, everything pointed that way. But it wasn't too long, and we found evidence that God didn't lead them there at all. It wasn't God leading at all. And a number of them came to recognize it and admit it and see it. And yet it seemed to them at the hour that it was. Everything seemed to line up. So you have to be careful that things just don't seem to line up. A certain person is going to do something. He knew it was God. He was sure of it. Until finally we saw some things that showed that it violated the principles of God. See, God never leads you to do something to violate the principles. Besides, it didn't make the connection. And God knows how to work on the other end of the line. And therefore, it began to be nailed down. Emotions are strong and feelings are strong, and it's easy to interpret them as God when they're not God at all. I've had people sure that God was going to lead them someplace. And when they got there, they didn't have the size idea what to do, know what they were, how, what they were doing, Bill, and God didn't back them up, and they didn't do anything. God doesn't make mistakes with his leadings. If he leads you to build a church, you will build a church. I'm not saying you can't fall out of the way and disobey God and so forth, but I mean, if you're doing what God wants to do and your heart is open for God, if he's behind it, it'll prosper. It'll go. God doesn't send you out to do failure missions. Unless he's sending you out, of course, just to preach to every creature and give them opportunity. So we'll see something else if I can find it again. Case has to do with people being sure that God was behind this thing and was sending them. I can find it again now. A real good case where it seemed like everything was, oh yes. There was a case in my own case in which when I was working at the Boeing Company, the engineering office, I had a number of offers by companies that called me up on my phone, right at my desk, and asked me to come and join them, and they will give me so much more per hour, no matter what I'm making. They'll send a car out and come back and have a hotel for me and stay a few days and look over the place and all expenses paid and no obligation. And I turned them down. And they said, well, anytime you change your mind, let us know. We'll always pay you so much more than you're getting paid there, whatever, no matter what it is. And I never felt anything. And finally, there came a time that I felt to make a move, and an offer came in, and all of a sudden I didn't have the same, everything was changing as far as my church ministry was concerned, where I was, and things were coming to an end, and I could see that they were coming to an end, and that the Lord was behind, and the God was speaking to me in unusual ways, that he hadn't spoke to me before, and I was having unusual vision and things happening. I could know for sure God was calling me to full-time ministry. Opportunities came, and then even greater opportunities came right in. I had to know by a certain date. I was praying, and I wasn't getting anything. And then another thing came right in, and I felt to go for the first time in my life, and my wife was ready to go. And it looked like everything was pointing. It would be so easy to think that was God. And at the last minute, the Lord let me know, stay. And I knew to stay. And it accomplished its purpose with the company. And right in back of it was the starting of community, right beyond it was the starting of community chapel and Bible training. Had we gone, you would not have been sitting here today in this assembly. And yet it looked like everything was lining up. But it wasn't, but God was moving all right, but it wasn't interpreting it quite right. Besides, man was moving. And you can't always know, you don't even know that the devil might, you know, you might get a wonderful offer for four times the salary to meet, take care of all your problems down someplace in the border of Mexico. But it might be the devil. You might have a marvelous job open. It fits your Bible college schedule, three times the salary, easy work, and you right there, bartending. It doesn't always mean it's of the Lord. Men are also making offers, you know. Number 29, do not try to work up an anointing. Don't sit in the service trying to build emotion and build anointing so you can give a message. Those things self-induce. Don't try to self-induce something. They're dangerous. Our minds and our emotions are, they're very active and very complex. And we can't always know ourselves and read ourselves right. If God wants to speak, He's got people with gifts. He knows how to put it on you just like that. You should never try to get a message. Let Him give it to you without you trying to do anything. If you sit there trying to get ready for a message, you will very often get yourself worked up to a place where you talk yourself into the fact and get emotional enough and get all ready so you can give a message, particularly if you're a woman and you can get emotional when you try real easily. It's dangerous to do that. Those are the kind of messages come from men. And when you sit in assembly and you begin to get stirred by messages, stirred by what people are saying, stirred by testimonies, those are the time when your prophecies, interpretations are more suspect than any other time. Because you're getting stirred emotionally, and then it's more difficult to make a distinction between what God is doing and what you are feeling. People got this idea, whenever they feel something strong, it's God. See, God deals more in the realms of knowledge than in feeling. When He comes upon you, all of a sudden you know something. If you begin to feel a lot, see, God doesn't give feelings. People feel. He gives knowledge, and on the basis of the knowledge, we get emotional about it, and we feel. And so many people are thinking that feelings is the basis of them giving messages. But there must be a knowledge. There's got to be a knowledge that God wants to use you in. And you begin to know something in a way. You know those ways when you know that you know that you know. Many, many, many times by the Spirit, I have known things. I have known things so clearly that I was able to sit down with people and say to them, now, I understood they had a marriage problem. I had no idea what the marriage problem was. Somebody just told me I had a marriage problem. Gave me no details. I knew nothing about it. And I said, let me tell you what your problems are and the solutions. And went down the line with a whole long list of things. And what happened? I said, now, am I on or am I off? And they said, you hit the nail right on the head. And then she said, you said specifics that nobody knows outside of my husband and me. It could not be anybody but God. Nobody knows the things, the details that you said. And they weren't general things. They weren't things I could look at them and kind of surmise, you know, and have the gift, you know, of analyzing people. These were detailed things. Well, now, in order to come out and do things like that, you've got to know. See, like Elijah, when you confront the prophets of Mount Carmel, you've got to know. This isn't some, you know, just stepping out like a young convert, full of faith and eager zeal, but hoping and trusting that God's going to back him up. You know it's God's will. You know God's leading you. You know He'll back you up. And that's why you do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't dare do it. And God wants to give His people knowledge. It seems awful warm in here. Is that just me? Is it warm? It's warm. Mechanics take care of it. I'm sure there's plenty of cooling devices outside that will can cool us off a bit. Number 30, let the Spirit of God build within to a substantial level before exercising the gift. Now, I have a number of questions to answer that I will be answering, and some of them have to deal with this. A little confused about the statement, and the statement does need some qualification. You cannot afford, when the Spirit of God comes upon you to give an interpretation or prophecy, and you know that you are to give it. You know it. And it's in a way that is the sign for you. I do not mean knowing it, and this is the moment, right at the moment it needs to be given in the service, that you sit there and wait for emotion to build and build and build and build and build. I do not mean that. If you do that, very often you'll miss the opportunity to give it. It will not be given at the moment it's needed, and then it go on with something else, and then it will not fit in. And then if you try to give it later, you'll give it out of your own head, and it won't be the message at all, because it doesn't fit at the moment when God gave it, and He's not giving it. There have been people that have waited and waited out of fear, and then finally came, and then tried to give a message, they didn't feel the emotion. I mean, they didn't really feel, you know, the same thing to give it, but they just kind of hoped that God would come through somehow, and they kept the emotion building because they kept concerned about it. And then they gave it, and it didn't turn out, and they were a little confused because it came out of their own head, because God wasn't speaking then. It was too late. It didn't speak when God said to speak. However, what I am saying is, if you're out there and you just feel some emotion come in you and you think you should speak, don't speak yet. Be positive. Let the thing, the first time that you just feel real quick something in a little measure, don't just haul off. Let the thing build. Give it opportunity, as God is moving in that service, for that knowledge and spirit within to build in you until you are anointed, ready, and God is on you, ready to deliver it. And then the rest of the other people with the gift of interpretation are ready also as God is working on them. Don't be so fast that as soon as you get the first little inkling, you stand up and give something. Let it build until you know. And you know that you know, and all the signs are there, and you're ready. And then, even then, if the service is such that you'd have to break something, don't give it just because God's working on you. Wait for the moment opening. Wait until there's a pivot point in that service. God does not interrupt an anointed ministry with another anointed ministry. And just for the fact that you know that you are to speak in tongues doesn't mean you should interrupt the speaker. Let that thing build in you while they are ministering, and then as it comes to an end, if that's the moment, you got to move quick, because sometimes if you don't, somebody else is right there. And you got to move at the right time. And if you don't, many times you can't give it at all. Number 31, do not try to exercise a gift after the service has turned. Now, I already amplified the last one in explaining that. Once the situation, the service says it's no longer going this way and it's been turned and now it's moving this way, don't try to exercise the gift that you had 20 minutes ago. It won't work. If you come down to exercise the gift and you're going to sit there and wait, you know, for until you get an opportunity, which might be 15 minutes to exercise your gift, it's very suspect. The probability that you'll be able to give that gift 15 minutes later is small. You've got to give it when you get it. Within that small time frame. But in the small time frame, let it build and then hit it at the precise moment that there's opportunity for it and it fits. Number 32, listen to be sure that no one else is speaking before you start in. There have been people that start off right where somebody else is doing something because they feel God upon them and they shut out everything else. And as they're yielding and letting something build, about the right time they're ready to do something, their ears has not been tuned into the assembly to know what the assembly's doing. And then they run at the same time somebody else is doing something. Before you speak, open your ears and see what's happening out there. Make sure you're at the right time, at the proper moment, nobody else is speaking before you speak. Because God is not the author of confusion. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two at the most, by three, and that by course, Scripture says, by course, one after another, not at the same time. it's possible for 2, 3, 4 people to get anointed, to have the anointing of God upon them in such a way that they can give a message. It might be that a dozen people can give a message in tongues at the same time, same message, different tongues. It's very possible. And if one doesn't yield, another can. And therefore, God has given these admonitions in His Word. Number 33, once you have decided that God wants to use you to speak, commit yourself to and the message to God in faith. Casting away all fear, abandon yourself to the message so that you can speak uninhibited. Fear can break the plug-in, so to speak, between you and God. If you or have doubts about it, you know, if while it's building, if there's questions in your mind, you should hold. But once you know and believe that God has called you, that is put upon you to speak, and you've committed yourself to do it, cast away all doubts and fears and start right in. Because if you keep critiquing it and doubting it and worrying about it, you're not going to have an uninterrupted flow. And then you're going to be stumbling through the message because you're not operating by faith. An operation of healing or ministry is an operation of faith, just like speaking in tongues is. You see, it's easy. That's only because you exercise faith. That's because you start in with your, you have to move your diaphragm and get all ready to move to speak the very first word that comes to your mind and trust God to give the rest of the utterance. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. It's an exercise of faith. It's just that you do it so often that it becomes even and easy, and you hardly recognize the faith that's involved, because you exercise the faith so simply and so easily because that's faith. See, faith doesn't have any worries about something. Faith just believes it. When you come here Sunday morning, you just have faith that you're going to be able to get in, and that they'll let you in, and that the building will be here. They'll have a service on that time. And so it doesn't seem like a big thing. You know, we can learn a real lesson about faith. Faith, anything with faith is easy. Great things can be done without any concern or worry because of faith. If you're worrying about something, you're not having faith. You can be in positions where people can die, people are dying, people are deathly sick, it's going to mess up everything, and you're in a position where it's in the natural scary, and you don't even worry about it. You're not concerned about it. You just pray and say, okay, Lord, thank you, and no one give another thought. And then your own mind will come in, and the devil will come in, and your own rationale, and say, what's the matter with me? I mean, the person has died in the Lord, and I don't even seem to be upset about it. This person is my own child is ready to die, and I've prayed to God, and I'm not worried about it. Well, faith does not worry. It isn't that something's wrong with you. Maybe something is right with you for a change. Faith does not worry. Faith trusts God. And the struggling that we think we have to do for things is only because we don't have faith. There's no struggle. You come through the Holy Spirit just like this. You come through a healing just like this. Things that people say, oh, well, we only prayed 10 seconds, 5 seconds. If he'd be healed, he was healed. I mean, I had a whole long prayer already for God. I had power. I was going to denounce all the demons. I was going to do all kinds. I mean, here he was. He beat me to it. See, faith just operates like this. You don't have to have all this to get something. It's not a big mumbo-jumbo, abracadabra, and all kinds of formulas. It's God responding to faith and the word spoken in faith, the word of truth. And when we operate a gift, it's just like the gift of healing. If you're doubting when people are going to be healed, the chances are they won't be healed. You've got to believe they're going to be healed. You've got to believe as you speak, God has given you the message, or you cannot do it right. If you think it's yourself, you're stumbling all over the place worrying about it. To be plugged in, there's a law of faith that works. You can't be saved except by faith. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but you're not sins on erased until you believe it and accept it. Same way with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same way with healing. Same way with anything. Even the rapture. He's coming for those who look for His appearance, not for those who figure either way they got it lit. Number 34, do not critique the message while it is in progress. I guess I've already spoken that also. If you're there doing this, you'll certainly unplug yourself. It may be natural to do that, but we need to learn and get in the supernatural and go beyond that. I've made that mistake. I was given a message over my daughter one time about 15 years ago. And during it, I got so blessed, and oh, this is marvelous, and I got unplugged. You can't afford to do that. You got to keep right in and just keep the message coming. In fact, there are people, cases, in situations such that if you're really giving a message, some people hardly know what they said when they got done. They have to listen to tape to see what they said. The people that know everything they said and they got convictions about it are the ones that maybe it came out of their heart, their head. They know what they said because they feel strongly about it. When you give a message and don't even know what you said, there's some evidence. I say some because there's another side to it, too. There's some evidence that the message may be genuine because it didn't stem come out of your own mind and heart, or you would know exactly what you were saying. Number 35, do not change what comes to your mind. It is true. And if not, the message is not of God, and the error needs to be visible in order to judge by. In other words, when you start, and I made this mistake too, and I've told you about it. When you start, and it's coming to your mind just like this, and all of a sudden something pops in, you think, wow, that's a strange one. Don't change it. Either God's giving you the message or he's not. If he's giving you the message, it's true, so why change it? And if he's not giving you the message, then blunder good and proper so we can all see it and judge it so we know it's not of God. Right? Sometimes we need a good blunder so we can tell if something's of ourselves, and otherwise you're not going to learn. You know, you only hurt yourself by deceiving yourself and everybody until something like the time. The time will come, it'll catch up with you. And the longer you've done it and the more you build it, it isn't any good to speak a lie in the name of the Lord. Or even that which is not a lie, but that which is not true, even with a good attitude and heart and motive, it doesn't do any good if it's not true. If it's not true, if it's not of God, it's not of God, and it won't help you a bit. Number 36. Individual messages in tongues of interpretation or prophecy are not to be used for individual specific guidance for people's lives. This is very dangerous. Commonly done, but very dangerous. Now, let me explain some things to you. And I'm going to qualify this in a few moments. And I want to show you why this is true. But first, let me give you a few things as to the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit. What they're for. The gifts of the Spirit, I'm talking about utterance gifts right now. I'm talking about interpretation and prophecy. The proper use, we'll just say prophecy to make it short. Prophecy is one to comfort the hearts of God's people by speaking God's love for them and God's care for them and God's promises to them that he will keep them and sustain them. But you see, when you do that, you are only speaking what is the very tenor of Scripture everywhere. The God's love, God's care for you, and his promise to abide with you and keep you and all these things are in this book from cover to cover. Therefore, even if what you said came out of your own mind and heart instead of directly from God, it would not shipwreck the individual. It is still true whether you said it, whether it came directly from God or indirectly, whether you felt it in your spirit, as long as you have the understanding of this word, and as long as your comfort and your love and God's care and promise is coming that's in accordance with this word, that's why all these things are to be judged in accordance with the word, because God would never speak anything contrary to it. It could not hurt anybody, even if it didn't come directly from God. You know, because you can do the same thing. You can get up and say, and not say, thus saith the Lord, but say, brethren, trust in the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. So you can say it even without. And if you do, you should also accept that, just like the other, because it still comes from God's word. It's still his heart. It's still for you. This book is for you. It wasn't just for the Jew a long time ago. It's for us. And therefore, we shouldn't think, well, you know, this is personal for me and this isn't. Number two, the prophecy interpretations are to put the finger on hidden sins and problems in your life. But listen, you know whether you've got a sin in your life or not. You know whether you're taking dope, whether you're committing adultery or fornication. You know whether you're lusting after things that are not right. You know whether you're stealing. You know whether you're lying. You know whether you've got a problem or not. And therefore, these things are verifications to you. They kind of bring you right up short. They kind of put the finger on it. There are a lot of people that know they got problems but won't do anything about it until the finger is put on them. You know, when the supervisor grabs you by the collar and says, listen, Mac, I notice you have not been working. You've been daydreaming half the time. He'll start working harder. And so when God puts his finger on us, then we sometimes move where we won't move otherwise. Even if an elder does that, or a pastor, we get the same. We sometimes will move where we won't move otherwise. Even a brother, Samson tells us. And now, if you don't know that you got the problem, and he says you got the problem, then don't believe the prophecy. That's my judgment. There may be some cases in which you haven't analyzed yourself at all or looked within, and you may be, you know you got a problem, but you may not understand the root of the problem. It may be you're defensive because you're insecure. And you might learn some things that way that you didn't know before, but to have somebody come and say, you got a problem, you know, you lie all the time and say, oh, I didn't know I lied, but I guess if God says so, I believe it. You know whether you're lying or not. You know whether you're doing these things or not. I mean, it's true that some people lie and are hardly aware of it because they don't count as a lie. You know, they cheat on their income tax and don't worry about it. And then they say, I saw I can't come over tonight because I got to wash my hair, and you don't have to wash your hair at all. But really and truly, you knew you lied to them. It isn't like you didn't know it at all. You just weren't really aware of how serious these things really were. And so, you see, this kind of thing is safe even if it's not of God. If somebody puts his finger on a problem of your life, and if God does not directly bring it to him, even if it wasn't a prophecy, even if he saw things and he felt strongly and he brought out of his own mind, it's still you need it. It's still the principles. It still falls in the guidelines of the Word of God to tell you that. And it's safe even if it's not of God because you know whether you got it or not. Number three is to warn people to be careful of the trap of the devil. Warners, full warners against things. But again, if the trap never comes, we're not hurt. If somebody warns us to watch out for a trap in the road, and we would be very careful how we step, and we never find any traps, and there isn't any, we haven't really hurt ourselves. And there are traps of the devil. We do need to watch for the traps of the devil. And so even if the devil doesn't send it, wasn't going to send it, still to watch out for him is always good anyway. You see, so you can't really hurt yourself. Besides, remember, God may at times tell you about like traps, and he tells you not always so you can keep out of them, and so you can pray about these things. And as you pray about them and change your heart and so forth, he may have to pull his trap back because it won't work now, because you are now in a place where you've got your eyes glued right on the path and it won't work. In other words, a lot of things that can be prophesied may not come to pass because you have been forewarned and taken steps so the devil can't exercise that particular attack on your life. Number four is these things are to warn of events to come as to the promises of God's Word. Now again, if we're talking about the events that are in accordance with God's Word, we're talking about the latter rain, the harvest of God, the bride of Christ, the coming of Christ, things that are in God's Word, then whether it comes directly from God or not, it's still in His Word, it's still truth, it's still for you, you can't be hurt. Now, if we're talking about things outside the Word of God, like Mount Rainier is going to erupt, and then Mount St. Helens, after St. Helens, and then Mount Baker, and then this one, and everybody flee and go to Colorado and all this, if it's outside, then you can be hooked by it. According to the principles I've laid down, don't follow these things if you can be hooked by them if they are not of God, without absolute verification. Now, God doesn't expect us to go by the veracity of other people. So again, we can't be hooked about these things that are in God's Word. Number five, will let you know God is with you and will help you as you minister for Him. As you head out for a ministry, He'll promise to be with you and bless you and comfort you and open doors for you and so forth. It'll be a strength and a comfort and a help, and you'll see it come to pass and you'll praise the Lord for it. But even if somebody said the Lord is going to be with you in this and this and this, and it doesn't come to pass, even if it came out of their own heart and mind, as long as you are following the principles of the Word, as long as you are doing what God says and you put His Word first, God will be with you. He will be with you as you minister. Whether they said so or not, He will be with you. That's His promise. That's His principle. He's with you. He will bless your ministry, whether they said so or not. So just the fact they're telling you so, I will bless your ministry and open doors, even if it were not directly of the Lord, He's going to do it anyway. That's His will and heart. Those things just give it to comfort you along the way. And so again, it's safe. Number six. It challenges the church to obey God. You might say, thus saith the Lord, church, get with it. But even if it didn't come directly from the Lord, the Bible still says to get with it. Rise from the dead, O thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee life. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. And so forth and so forth and so forth. It's still in His Word. You still need it anyway. You're still safe to get the admonition. Now, see, and number seven, I'm going to warn the church of collective sins and attitudes in the church. Even if it didn't come directly from God, it's there anyway, and we all know it. So we need to do something about it, so it's safe. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are to verify the Word of God. They are to verify what you already know. They are to verify other verifications. They are to comfort you, to challenge you, to edify you, and to woo you to God, all of which is in this book. Unverified, specific direction that can lead to hurt if it's not of God is dangerous. So, because it is dangerous, God is not in the habit of moving that way. He does not move in ways that are dangerous to His people. Now, many Christians have been hurt that way. They have married people. They have sold out and went to foreign lands. They have drilled for oil, putting all the money into a certain place that God showed them, all to find out that they were shipwrecked in it and God wasn't with it at all. It's very dangerous to run around saying, do you have a word of the Lord for me? And then follow it. It's super dangerous, naive, almost imbecilic. I said almost. So beware if God seems to be giving you all these detailed specifics, because He probably isn't. It's probably in the individual. God does not put us in a precarious trust of each other. God says, I put no trust in man, so why is He expecting you to do it? The gifts are not to be dangerous. He hasn't given us dangerous gifts for dangerous actions. So don't misuse the gift. Now let me talk a bit more about this. This is why we judge things by the Word. This is why this is the most sure word of prophecy, as the Word of God says. We are not despising the gifts. They are of God. They are beneficial. They are a blessing. This is why you should be able to have confidence and faith in a gift. You see, if a gift is properly given, you should be able to say, well, how do I know? Don't worry, brother. It's in the book anyway. Just check it up. If it's in line with the book, if it will not hurt you, whether it's God or not, just believe it's of the Lord, unless you see things that show you otherwise. Just accept it. Don't worry about it. That's the faith that there is in His Word. I mean, the gift, because it must be judged according with this book. And if it is, there's no problem. Otherwise, you couldn't have faith in these things. You would always be worrying, well, how do I know? But besides the many indicators, and many times, yet there's always the unknowns. But if it's in accordance with the Word, we won't have to worry. Now, let me say some more specific things. Number one, Do not go to the Thunas to heal from God. That is not what they're here for. That is not God's will. For you to run over there with your tape recorder to get a personal word from the Lord is entirely improper. Your marriage problems do not need a personal, thus saith the Lord, from God. There are biblical and spiritual principles that will handle any marriage problem you got. You do not need a prophecy to know how to handle a marriage problem. All you need is a good counselor and a heart to follow it. Too many people are stubborn, unwilling to follow the word of God and the counsel, unwilling to let loose of the carnality, unwilling to submit to God, run to God to get a personal word from the Lord when they won't obey the scripture in the first place. See? The wife will not obey her husband, although the word demands it, but she wants a personal word from the Lord to know how to do what to do. Well, first of all, do what God says to do in His word. And before you ever seek in the second and third and fourth step, get the first step. First do the first thing before you run around hunting for a second thing. These kind of people are waiting for something to come to their own defense, and when they try to hear what they want to hear. Gifts of the Spirit, the same way. God has not given gifts of the Spirit to tell you how to exercise gifts of the Spirit. There are principles to follow. Now, leave it up to God to speak if He wishes or not. Don't go already. All along the line, everything it says is about the word. It said the word washes you, not the prophecy. Those other things are not like this more sure word of prophecy. This is what God says we stand. This is our foundation, not the gifts. The gifts have a purpose, but they're always built on this, must line up with this, and do not supersede it. They are not a supplemental thing that will do something that this will not do. It all comes back to lining up and verifying this. Do not make a fetish out of God's personal word to you. Don't have your personal piece of wood from the cross of Christ and the bones of Peter. And so your personal tape, that this is God's message given to me in 1936, and I listened to it a million times, and this is put it in my holy closet, in my golden box, see. Don't have a fetish out of that personal word. It is true that if God has spoken over you, we encourage people to heal in the time and make sure that you're listening to it and you keep the message fresh. But remember, this is a personal message to you. Don't make this book despised and put it way down from your personal message that you got uphill above this word of God. His written word, preached in the way that God gives it to His ministers, is just as personal, just as valid, just as important, valid to be concerned about, just as valid to implement, just as valid to be interested in. And it's even more reliable. It's more reliable. It can be checked by scholars, by other people. We have no individual word interpretation. And it can be checked to see what's in accordance with it. It is more positive than a prophecy given by an individual who could be bringing something out of his own mind. There have been revelations given by people. Like, there is some evidence to suggest, and it may not be correct, there's some evidence to suggest that an angel, Moroni, that is a fallen angel, gave a revelation to Joseph Smith that got him off. There's some reason to believe that a demonic spirit also went to Gautama Buddha as he sat under a tree meditating and brought him a revelation, a lying revelation. He says he did. He says the spirit came to him. And it brought him something not in accordance with the book. And the scripture said, even if an angel brings you any other doctrine and gospel that I have preached, let him be accursed. Don't accept it. Even if an angel comes, he may be a fallen angel. He may come as an angel of light when he's an angel of darkness. You cannot always go by what you hear from men or angels. But from the Word of God, you can. Any prophecy that gets too personal, too detailed, and too helpful is suspect. Now, if you have listened for many years, like I have, to prophecies given people who are headed for foreign shores and outreaches, doing things in their life and whatever, you'll find out they generally are much more general and vague than everybody wishes they were. Have you noticed that? They do not give you all the nitty-gritty detail you wished, which tells us something. God does not want to use them for that purpose. They are only a comfort and a promise to be with you and bless you, and they're always in a general sense, almost always. All these specifics, he wants you to walk by faith and trust him. That's why. This is not to supplant faith. It is not to supplant a personal daily faith in God. He did not want you everything all lined out ahead of time so you don't have to worry about anything and say, well, I got a prophecy, so from now on, he wants you daily to be dependent upon him and to walk by faith. God does not use the gifts to run our lives. He does not want the gifts to run our lives. The Word of God and faith ought to run our lives. Faith in this Word is to rule our life, not the gifts. Prophecy is for exhortation for the Word of God, and edification for the Word of God, and comfort for the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:4. That's what he says, that it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Anything beyond that should come from a prophet or from the church government or messages given at least in the assembly with the church government so all can hear and evaluate it and judge it. It should at least, at the very minimum, be in the pastor's presence, in the presence of elders, the presence of other people in the church government. Individual messages given in a room off by themselves, how you should handle your individual life specifically, are dangerous and suspect. Those kind of things, generally, and believe me, I've got pastors aplenty that I've heard in my life that can back me up with this, that can tell you that when that has happened in their church, they almost always have made shipwreck. Most spirit-filled pastors that I know of are afraid to have people off in individual groups given exercising the gifts of the Spirit. They know that they'll run into the ditch. Almost anybody that is commonly doing this will eventually hurt people and run them into the ditch. Now, people going to the Thurners asking for personal revelations from God and so forth are putting pressure on Jana Thurner. And so they came to us about the problem. It's dangerous to be in a position where you're expected to come up with what people want. I am now putting you on the spot to get a message from God to me. So get with it. Got my tape recorder running. See, this is a dangerous position for a person to be in. Wanting to give you something, wanting to hear from God. See, you dare not induce anything. Some people try to use God to verify their progress by the gifts of the Spirit. That's misuse of the gifts. Don't go to God to see how you're doing now and hear him say, well done, you're doing fine, you're growing. Now, give me another checkup, please, doctor. That is not the use of the gifts. You judge yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not by this word the Scripture says. People try to have God tell them what they want to hear oftentimes. This means they've got their ego, the defensiveness. They want justification. And then some reject it as not of God if it's not favorable. Well, I don't believe that it's of God. But if it's favorable, oh yes, I can sure equate with that. See, be careful. This was done in Jeremiah's day. When Jeremiah the prophet spoke that which was not favorable, and the other prophet spoke that which was favorable, the people believed the favorable, and they turned against Jeremiah, and they got hurt badly. It also happened with King Ahab. When God's prophets prophesied according to him that if he went up to the battle that he wanted to fight, that he was going to fall. And he did not want, he wanted to go up because he wanted to conquer. so he wouldn't listen to them. Must not be of God. So God let the devil come and be a lying spirit in a prophet's mouth. And all of a sudden, a prophet got something, and he assumed it was from God, but this time it was from the devil. But he didn't know the difference. It came into his mind the same way. All of a sudden, he knew things. It was right there. And so he spoke it forth. You go up and prosper, and he went up and fell. God said, who shall be a lying spirit in the mouth of my prophet? And Satan came on and said, I will. And God gave him permission. Now, the prophet, he didn't know the diffs. He said, but what about the prophet? Was he a lying prophet? No. Didn't mean he was a lying prophet. He just gave what he got. But how about him? To be used for something like that. It really was a blessing to get rid of Ahab. For that prophet and everybody else. It turned out for good. He probably learned it came from the devil. It didn't come to pass as that thing came. And this is why we tell people. They're all people. They get things from the devil. They are sure it's from God. I can tell you plenty of them. And they are sure they're from God. And they're not from God at all. Sometimes most of what people get and say, thus they've left in their own mind, but they're all things that people give that God has showed them. I got a revelation. I got a dream. And they did get revelations. And they did get dreams from up. And they were from the devil. Some of them did get things because their hearts were not right. They got into a messed up situation. And be careful. The devil can fool you, you know. Some people don't see their own problem because they don't think of themselves that way. So they can't believe it. Be careful. The Bible says the heart is desperately deceitful. And who can know it? Just because you don't visualize yourself that way doesn't mean that you're not necessarily that way. You need to stop and analyze. However, if it's something that is absolutely contrary to you and the way you are and the way you think and all the rest, you cannot accept that. But remember, don't be so defensive. If a person is then, that's right. That's why if we do not follow the principles, we can get ourselves in trouble. Any which way we turn. I think it's still too warm in here. Why don't you open some doors or do something? What do we do, Jack? Somebody cool us off a little bit in here. Those authorized. Now, I'm going to quit in a minute. I realize my time is about up. I'm going to finish just a couple more points. Now, if a counselor is counseling on a marriage problem, let's say, and it's non-productive, and the people are not yielding and opening up and following the counsel, it would be all right for the counselors to send them to the Thunos. That's why they're on staff. Because they will take the time to wait upon God and pray with that one and deal with their heart and their motive and so forth and see if they can get the person to break under prayer and become submissive and willing to do what the counselor says. That's the purpose in sending them to Thunos, not to hear a personal word from the Lord. They've already been giving them proper counsel. And it's not to get better counsel. Magical new things that nobody else knows about that came directly from some inner circle of heaven. That is not the point. The point is to go there and let people spend time praying with you that you might get willing to follow the counsel. And then, if God wishes to speak to your heart and put his finger on you, or to chastise you, and to comfort you in your defensiveness and so forth, and your hurts, then that's his business. But don't go demanding. Let it come. Let God speak. He knows when he wants to talk to you. And when God wants to come to your heart and say something that sometimes you'll listen to God, but you won't listen to a counselor, although that's too bad because even though he does not speak ex cathedra, you know, as they say, still, the counselors, they are not perfect, but they are giving you the principles. And if you follow the principles, you'll come out all right. For you to listen to direct revelation, not listen to them. There's too many people not understanding that if a person preaches or even prays, see, God will anoint people when they preach. He will give them exact things to say. I have God all the time leading me to say certain things. He leads me to say things sometimes I do not know why I say it, and I find out later. He leads me to pray in ways I know it's God. I've had people say, well, boy, it's amazing. Listen, you pray sometimes because it just sounds like God and so forth. Well, it is. I become aware of myself. That I go beyond myself, and God is feeding me things to speak. And same with counselors and others. Do not get the idea that unless it says, thus saith the Lord, and it's a prophecy, something that God isn't in it, and this way God is in it. That's not true. Many times God is in the other, and sometimes he's not in thus saith the Lord prophecies. The messages are from God to comfort you, to exhort you, to expose, and they should come from God without asking. Now, this is not specific direction for your ministry and for your life, but rather it deals with your heart. It deals with faith, it deals with needs, it deals with God's love, and therefore it's something that's safe to hear again. These extra little details you want about what's going to happen up ahead and all about your life, God's not going to tell you. He doesn't want you to know, generally. He wants you to trust him day by day, and it'll come to pass. And so you should not be going around hunting for the word of the Lord for that purpose. If God does want you to know about a ministry he's going to cause you to embark upon someday, and this happens, he generally doesn't give it to you by prophecy. It's generally confirmed by prophecy, but almost always he deals directly with you, and he puts it in your heart. I know many, 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 many ministers, missionaries, that God has called and said, put upon their heart a certain land or certain calling, and almost always he tells them. And then it's verified as the years go by and they're studying and going to Bible college and so forth. It didn't always mean go right this minute. Some of them he calls at 14 years old. Some of them he calls them just a lad. But it gives them a direction that they can build on. God will show you and he'll verify it. God directly showed me what he was going to do with Community Chapel. He did not give me a lot of details, but I knew he gave me the broad outline of it and verified it dozens of times over the years, not only by prophecies and various things from people, even from outside, but by causing it to come to pass. But first of all, I didn't just go off because somebody said that, and therefore that's my vision because Sister, what was her name, said that. No, it was because God gave it to me so I knew it. And when God gives you something like that, he'll verify it. So these are some of the principles. Now, I've got a good many more weeks to go yet on the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. This is number 5 in the series. There's 4 more that are on tapes for you that want to pick it up and hear that. They're on the loan, and get them on the loan library out here. If you come to this church, somebody who does come can get them checked out for you. And we're going to continue. And when we finish the series, I think we're going to have a lot better understanding on the exercise of the gift. There's a number of areas yet I have to take, and I'm going to be answering a lot of the questions very soon that you have written in. God bless you. The morning service will start in a few moments. We're going to take a little break right now. Parents have to pick up the children and so forth. We'd appreciate it if you can get up and stir around a little bit and get the blood circulating so you'll be able to sit through the worship service and really give it your attention. Thank you.